and a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that the show is available 24/7 via your favorite podcast app. You can listen anytime, any place, anywhere by checking out the show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Want to thank the Law Group for their support this morning. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Well, I caught a very interesting article yesterday over at the New York Times that I wanted to walk through this morning. The headline is this: DNC is in chaos and desperate for cash. Now, this is a very interesting situation that the Democrat Party is dealing with. And we've talked about and kind of laid out the issues that the Democrat Party is currently facing. They had a horrific election loss last November. They were unable to convince the American people that their ideas are better. They were unable to convince the American people that the things that they support and the things that they are in favor of are the best for the American people going forward. And that's been a big struggle for them long term. This has been an issue that this party has been facing that is yet to actually, I guess I'll say, deal with the issues at hand. The Democrat Party has been unable to say to the American people, we are the avenue, we are the vehicle for change that you are looking for. And that's been obvious. It was very obvious last November, and it continues to be obvious, you know, about halfway through the year as the Trump administration really gets kicked off and going. So I wanted to go through this article over at the New York Times, and it starts by saying this: just months into the tenure of a new party leader, Ken Martin, who is currently the head of the Democrat National Committee, the DNC, the Democrat National Committee's financial situation has grown so bleak that top officials have discussed whether they might need to borrow money this year to keep paying their bills. That's not a good sign at all. That's not a good situation to be in at all. Fundraising from major donors, some of whom Mr. Martin has still not spoken with, have slowed sharply. At the same time, he has expanded the party's financial commitments to every state and even to far-flung territories like Guam. And I thought to myself, well, that's pretty typical. I mean, is that any different than the way that Democrats operate in Washington, D.C.? Spend money they don't have? I mean, the Democrat National Committee is running low on cash. Their incoming donations have slowed sharply over the last 6 months or so. And so what's the solution? Let's go out and spend more money. Let's make multiple big dollar contributions or more commitments to states and to territories like Guam. Meanwhile, we have no cash coming in currently. I mean, this is just textbook, par for the course, Democrat leadership, whether you're looking at leaders in Congress or in this case, Ken Martin, the leader of the Democrat National Committee. Fellow Democrats are grumbling that Mr. Martin, who quietly accepted a raise after taking the post, has been badly distracted by internal battles. So far, they say has been unable to unify the party and of course unify them against the Republicans, who of course are controlling the federal government. A protracted and public fight with old David Hogg, the 25-year-old activist turned DNC vice chair who blindsided party officials with a plan to challenge incumbent Democrats, made things worse. The clash included the leak of embarrassing audio of Ed Martin questioning his own role in ending David Hogg's unceremonious exit, which took place back a couple of weeks ago. That was soon followed by the news that two of the country's most influential labor leaders, who represent a combined 3.2 million workers, were also leaving the Democrat National Committee. Both questioned the party's direction under Mr. Martin. This, of course, which, by the way, I wasn't even aware of this, that the head of the education union, Randy Weingarten, I didn't know that she was a member of the DNC. I will admit, I knew who she was. I knew that she was the head of the education union, but I didn't know that she was an active member sitting on the board of the Democrat National Committee. Isn't that odd? I mean, when you're the head of the education union, shouldn't you be going out and trying to advocate, regardless of which party, advocate for better pay and better working conditions for your constituents, aka educators across the United States. I just found it quite odd that she was actually on the leadership board. She was an active member of the Democrat National Committee. I mean, obviously, she's a flaming liberal. I'm not arguing that fact, but I didn't know she was so tightly aligned with the Democrat National Committee. I found that to be rather odd. Rufus Gifford, who served as the finance chairman of the Kamala Harris 2024 campaign and maintains relationships with many top donors, suggested that the Democrats were being sent the wrong message at the time when they are desperately looking for fight and leadership. And then his quote is, "What they are seeing is headline after headline of incompetence and infighting. And I think this is a real problem, not just for the DNC, but the larger Democratic brand. We need to come together and focus on the issues at hand. That's got to happen now, and I mean today. And if that can't happen, we need to shift course." This is an interesting, you know, when you look at the opposition party, which is where the Democrats are right now, they are not in control. They are not running the White House. They are not running the House. They are not running the Senate. They are the outside party looking in. And I've always said this. It is so much easier to be the opposition party than it is to be the governing party, right? Because when you're the opposition party, all you have to do is yell and scream and throw a temper tantrum and you get your point across, right? You're not actually in a position where you need to lead. You're not actually in a position where you have to bring forth substantial policy that can actually be enacted. It's a lot easier to be the opposition than it is to be the party of governance. And the Democrats are in that spot right now. They are, in fact, the opposition party. They are the party without power, without control. And even in that much easier situation that they find themselves in, they are struggling mightily. And I think it's due to a variety of factors. I think these fringe groups within the Democrat Party have been given far too much power and control. These fringe wacko groups on the left have been given so much amplification by the Democrat Party, the BLM, the Antifa likes within the left, the far left socialist Marxist progressives. They have been given such a megaphone, and the Democrat Party is so afraid to piss them off that they are essentially straddling this line between going full-on crazy leftist and trying to still appeal to a moderate demographic that might not like Donald Trump. A moderate demographic that might still say, yeah, I don't like Donald Trump. I think he's a mean guy, so on and so forth. The Democrats are in a position to win those voters. The Democrats are in a position to win support with those individuals, but even in that regard, they are failing mightily. They're just completely screwing the pooch on this issue. This account of Mr. Martin's tumultuous early tenure is based on interviews with more than 24 Democrat lawmakers, donors, strategists, DNC members, and party officials. Part of the bumpy beginnings appears to be a fallout from a bare-knuckle fight for the chairmanship. With the spoils going to the winner as usual, Ed Martin has pushed to install allies in some key posts and remove supporters of his rivals. According to the illustrious Donna Brazile, right? You'll remember her time as the head of the DNC, giving Hillary Clinton debate questions in 2016 ahead of candidate Donald Trump. You'll remember how great she was in that role. She wrote, quote, "Some of the changes will leave people feeling as if they don't have a seat at the table," Brazile said. "He has his own inner circle. I'm not in it, and I don't want to be in it." Well, that's just showing that you're a sore loser. I mean, yeah, party leadership changes. I mean, you've got a new head as in Ed Martin as the head of the DNC. He, of course, is going to install people that are his allies around him. I mean, that is the logical approach to dealing with a situation like this. I don't know why Donna Brazile, who is an incredibly intelligent political strategist, who very clearly knows how this game is played, would be making these comments. Now, obviously, I know the reason she's doing it. She's trying to cast more shade and put more pressure on Ed Martin. She admits that she's not in his inner circle, and she's a very influential member and obviously wants to be. The article goes on to say, it has not been lost on some Democrats that Mr. Martin arrived at the DNC as the consummate insider, a man who led both the State Party of Minnesota and the Association of State Party Chairs, yet he has struggled to navigate some internal Democrat coalition politics. Martin had offered to keep the top two union leaders, Randy Weingartner, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, and Lee Saunders, the president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, as members of the DNC, but he would not renew their plum assignments on the powerful Rules and Bylaws Committee, which controls how the party nominates its presidential candidates. Then, of course, the David Hogg episode also consumed and exasperated party leaders for close to 2 months. Representative Mark Pocan, a Wisconsin Democrat, said, quote, "This is worse than some high school student council drama." Well, I mean, kind of hard to argue that point, right? It's a complete and total inward fight. And you've heard me say in the past that I believe that the Democrat Party is on the brink of an internal civil war, right? They are struggling mightily to figure out their path and their approach going forward. They are struggling to figure out what the direction of this party is going to be. And it's a real serious issue that they're dealing with. Right? They just got shellacked in November of last year. They just got dealt a massive election blow last November, in which the vast majority of the American public said, your ideas suck, we're done. Where the vast majority of the American public said, we don't support the same thing that you guys support. And so now the party is trying to figure out how to retool, how to rekey itself so that it can, win an election? So that, it can secure majorities in Congress. I mean, the midterm elections are going to be here before you know it. And, you know, there's all of this discussion, and it prominently is on more of the GOP side of the aisle, but there's all of this discussion about, you know, the relatively short runway in front of the midterms that, Republicans have got to Republicans have got to get together. They've got to get President Trump's agenda passed, and it's got to go through because the midterm elections, which historically do not favor the party in charge, probably will not be super successful for Republicans. All right, that's been said. That's nothing new. You're not hearing me say anything earth-shattering for the first time. This has been a pretty standard thing as you go through politics. I'm not telling you anything new this morning. And so when you look at the Democrat Party right now, you look at this piece, this very brutal piece over at the New York Times this morning, it paints a party that might not be successful in the midterms. It paints the picture of a party that might break historical norms in terms of having a successful midterm election when the other party is controlling the White House and all of Congress. In an interview on Tuesday, Ed Martin acknowledged that his early efforts to rebuild the party have, quote, been overshadowed by some of this inside baseball stuff, end quote. But he said he was bringing about meaningful change, pointing to increased investments in all 57 state parties, including the territories and Washington, D.C. He also noted that the Democrat National Committee was helping organize more than 100 town halls in Republican districts, carrying out an extensive 2024 postmortem and creating a war room to counter President Trump. Martin said, quote, "I know there's a lot of people that are carrying grudges, that are still litigating the campaign that this person didn't win or that person didn't win. I'm not one of those people. There's no sense of living in the past. I have no other enemies than Donald Trump and the Republican Party." I mean, that's a strong statement. If I was a Democrat, I'd say that's a great statement, right? There's no point of shooting yourselves in the foot and doing all of this ridiculous party infighting when you've got, you know, the boogeyman in the Oval Office right now. You've got Donald Trump, who is currently sitting in the executive branch, and you've got a Congress that is not the currently your party. So those statements and quotes seem to be spot on. The biggest challenge facing the Democrat National Committee is now apparently financial, according to the New York Times. Six people briefed on the party's fundraising who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss its finances, frankly, said big donors who are an essential part of the party's funding have been very slow to give to the party this year as Ed Martin solicitates contributions. His commitments to state's parties, which amount to $1 million in monthly spending, has further strained finances. The DNC giving out $1 million a month to state parties. Senior DNC officials have discussed the possibility of borrowing money in the coming months to keep up the operations fully funded, according to two people with direct knowledge of the private discussions who, again, also insisted on speaking to the New York Times anonymously. Ed Martin acknowledged those talks, saying, quote, "That's certainly not our plan right now," he said of tapping into a line of credit, adding, "I don't know if we'll have to do that at this point," noting that grassroots fundraising had remained strong and that the party had small donors in the first 3 months, a lot of new small donations in the first three months under the new chairman. Still, the party's total cash reserves are shrank by $4 million from January through April, according to the most recent records, with the Republican National Committee coffers swelling by roughly $29 million. A new report is set to be due later this week. The party, out of power, often falls behind the one holding the White House. Still, the current financial gap is large. $18 million on hand for the Democrat National Committee in May, compared to more than $67 million on hand for the RNC. Hefty chunks still sit in special accounts that cannot be used for operational costs. In the first 4 months of the year, only three people gave $100,000 or more to the Democrat National Committee, according to the Federal Election Commission report. The party said it had received three more than six-figure donations in May and June from individuals. The New York Times goes on to say, almost no one questions Ed Martin's work ethic. He has traveled to two dozen states as the chairman and has energetically sought out money from donors, including this week in New York, just days after two friends were assassinated in Minnesota. According to a longtime DNC member, Maria Cardona, she said, quote, "Everything that Ken has done, regardless of this drama that has caused, has been the right move. He does the work. He rolls up the sleeves." She and other allies noted that Democrats had won recent down ballot and special elections with Martin campaigning in person in several of those races. Martin said he found that major donors were unhappy across the Democrat ecosystem after last year's defeat. He has commissioned a significant postmortem review of the 2024 race, which is being overseen by Paul Rivera, a longtime Democratic strategist, and is set to entail as many as 200 interviews. A final report is expected by the end of the summer. And, you know, that point isn't really shocking to me. I mean, you look, if you're a major Democrat donor, we're talking about people that are giving, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Democrat National Committee. Even for the wealthiest individuals, $100,000 or hundreds of thousands of dollars is not a small sum of money. They want to see, like everybody else, what is the ROI, the return on investment, going to be for this money? Regardless of whether it's $100,000 or $1 million, they want to see what that ROI is going to be. And when you look at the Democrat Party right now, again, you look at their losses, their substantial losses that they faced in November of last year, it's no surprise to me that the party and many of its donors are questioning, is this the right path? They're questioning, does the Democrat Party have what it takes to continue to be the opposition to President Trump? Does the Democrat Party have the issues, the narratives, the discussion points, the talking points? Do they have these things set up to be the opposition? And as it would seem right now, at least based on some of these fundraising totals, many Democrat donors feel that the answer to that is no, that the Democrat Party is not meeting those needs. And therefore, they're not giving hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're not giving millions of dollars to the Democrat National Committee, because I would assume they believe they're not going to get a good return on their investment. They believe that regardless of the situation at hand, the Democrat Party is not steering the ship in the right direction. And that is a completely believable and logical approach when you're talking about donating to the Democrat Party. According to Martin, he said, quote, people invested more money than they had ever before. They dug deeper than they ever had, and they're quite frustrated by the 2024 results. They want answers. I don't take it personally. I wasn't in charge. One recent New York event with Kamala Harris did not bring in as much money as some had hoped, raising roughly $300,000, according to people briefed on the matter who insisted on anonymity to protect relationships. The sum was a fraction of the $1 million price for a single top-end ticket to a New York fundraiser held by Kamala Harris last fall when she was the nominee. Even as the party faces a financial crunch, the DNC increased Mr. Martin's salary this year. Federal records show that the party confirmed his annual salary is now $350,000 a year, up from $300,000, which is what the previous chair had. So a $50,000 a year increase from $300,000 to $350,000. And Martin said in an interview that his salary had been set by a comprehensive committee within the party. And I guess for the Democrats, they think that's a big deal. To me, his salary is kind of irrelevant. Whether he's making $300,000 or $350,000, that's not really an issue, at least to me. Now, let me be clear. None of this is really an issue to me. I'm not a Democrat. So if they want to, you know, have this internal strife and kill themselves internally, have at it. I mean, go wild with it. It's not really my problem. But his salary, obviously it's probably a talking point on the left, right? Because they hate people that make money. They hate capitalism. They hate people that are wealthy, yet the chair of their own party is pulling down $350,000 a year. But to me, that's not really substantial. Nothing fractured the party, however, according to the New York Times, quite like David Hogg's surprise decision to wade into Democrat primaries to try and oust incumbents. He and Ed Martin feuded privately and publicly until David Hogg's ultimate departure this month. At one point, Martin directly called a lawyer, Graham Wilson, who works at the firm of the Democrat super lawyer Mark Elias's firm, to express dismay that the firm, who was also working for Leaders We Deserve, David Hogg's political action committee. The firm subsequently dropped Leaders We Deserve as a client, according to two people briefed on the matter who insisted on anonymity to discuss private conversations. A DNC spokeswoman said that Martin had never instructed the law firm to end its relationship with David Hogg's super PAC. According to the Democrat state senator in New York, Jamie Sculfus, said, quote, David Hogg came in and dropped a nuclear bomb on the place. It's everyone's hope and expectation that the drama will be behind us now that he's gone. Another challenge for David Martin is big contributions that are driving the race for that did drive the race for the DNC chair. His campaign criticized his chief rival Ben Wilker, who was the chair of the Wisconsin Democrat Party, for his ties to some of the party's largest donors, such as billionaires Reid Hoffman and Alex Soros. Shortly after Ed Martin won, he told the New York Times that the onus would be on the donors to mend any fences. Alex Soros and David Soros have not heard, or George Soros rather, have not heard from Mr. Martin since then, according to a spokesman for the billionaire. Mr. Martin said that he had tried to connect with Mr. Hoffman, but had not had a chance to reach out to Alex Soros yet. Now, this is a big problem. George Soros and his son Alex, who is ready to take the reins of the Soros fortune over, that is a problem if the Democrat National Committee doesn't have a relationship with them. Which, by the way, Alex Soros, did you see that he got married this weekend to Anthony Weiner's former wife, ex-wife now, Huma Abedin, right? Hillary Clinton campaigner. Alex Soros and her got married this weekend at some swanky event out in New York City. Actually, it may have been out on Long Island. I don't know exactly where it was. But when you've got George Soros' heir, who is, of course, Alex Soros, and he is not actively in communication with the head of the Democrat National Committee and is not currently giving large sums of money to the Democrat National Committee, that is a major problem. And the fact that he says he has not had a chance to reach out to Alex Soros yet is insane. Right? That is a huge faux pas on behalf of Ed Martin. He added that new initiatives he has begun, including a war room to press the party's message and state investments, would pay long-term dividends. Another early Martin project is a new streaming show on YouTube called The Daily Blueprint, which is filmed in a studio with a high-end production. Now, I will admit, I have not looked at The Daily Blueprint. Let's see if we can find any details about this show, The Daily Blueprint. I'm sure they're spending a fortune on the production of this. So let's see here. This is the Daily Blueprint streamed 2 days ago on the Democrat Party YouTube channel. It has a whopping 800 views, and this is what the show looks like. So it's got this kind of news rundown style thing. It's 10 minutes long, and again has 832 views. So I can only imagine what they're spending to produce this. I'm sure it's hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. They've hired some big production firm up in Washington, D.C. or New York to produce it. And I can only imagine that is a huge waste of money. You can't invest that much into a project or a program and get those kind of results. Even the New York Times writes, quote, "The show has drawn a minuscule audience so far, with some episodes scoring fewer than 1,000 views." So that's currently the latest on the Democrat Party. They're in a real tough position. Donald Trump is hitting them from every single angle. You have got him, his approach, at least in the early days of his presidency, which I do believe do continue this morning, this attempt to just kind of overload the messaging, overload the media, overload the Democrat Party, not giving them an in, not giving them the opportunity to really hone in on a singular issue, not giving them the opportunity to actually see an issue and build a narrative around it, right? Get all of their surrogates out and get all of their talking points dealt with. The Democrats have been unsuccessful in winning that battle to this point. Trump continues to overload them, and it's been a major problem. And it doesn't help when you've got just the most ridiculous things possible being said in the public ecosystem and in the public sphere. I've got some clips from The View coming up over the last couple of days. Some ridiculous comments from Whoopi Goldberg and the ladies of The View. We'll have that coverage coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I do want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington and tell you about some of the services that they offer across southeastern North Carolina. When legal challenges do arise, make sure you put your trust here in the law group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong criminal defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, ladies and gentlemen. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088, or again, their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support here of the Nick Craig Show. We'll continue this discussion. Some of your comments as well coming in on our live chats this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X over the ongoing troubles and sagas within the Democrat National Committee. As the Nick Craig Show rolls on live on a Thursday morning, listening on YouTube, Rumble, and X, or 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on a Thursday morning, YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget, you can support the show, get access to daily show notes and more. We are a crowdfunded project over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. If you are enjoying the show, believe that you are getting some value, you can head on over there and subscribe. $5, $10 a month. All of that available over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. So we're covering this story this morning over at the New York Times. The headline, a pretty damning headline, I'll admit, from the New York Times: the DNC is in chaos and desperate for cash. We've got some comments coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. The Democrats' current way to sway voters is to barge into the courts and press conferences, get restrained, and boohoo on CNN, where fake news watchers are applauded. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But the reality is, that's just not a strategy that's working for them. I mean, this idea of, you know, you had a candidate for governor in New York City being detained at an ICE facility like 2 days ago because, again, once again, tried showing up uninvited, tried inviting himself into the room only to be detained by federal officials, because you can't just waltz into a federal facility without an invite. And you know, the bigger problem is some of the messaging and the narratives. And this is not even the Democrat National Committee, but it's Democrats in general. I've got an astonishing clip from The View. I don't think I can show the clip because ABC News will copyright strike the video on YouTube and some of the other platforms. So I'm going to play this clip from The View. You'll hear the audio of it. And this is yesterday on The View, Whoopi Goldberg and the ladies of The View, very, very far left political program, very, very far left ideology. On this show, this is what some of the conversation is nationally. And you wonder why the Democrat Party is failing to get donors. You wonder why the Democrat Party is struggling with this identity crisis. When you've got comments like this from Whoopi Goldberg and the ladies of The View, it's no surprise at all.
Just remember, too, the Iranians literally throw gay people off of buildings. They don't adhere to basic human
rights.
Listen,
here's the thing. Let's not do that, because if we start with that, We have been known in this country to tie gay folks to the car.
Where the Iranian regime is today, they used to just keep hanging black people.
That's not what you mean to say. It is the same.
No, it's not. The year 2025 of the United States is nothing like if I step foot wearing this outfit into Iran, killed for
I'm sorry.
What, they were like Iranian? No, I can't have my hair showing. I can't wear a skirt. I can't have my arms out.
I'm telling you, as a...
I literally said it was up to the Iranian people.
Yes, okay.
It is up to them.
And that's why I am saying that it is the same. Murdering someone for their difference is not good, whoever does. It's not good.
Well, that's a great point by Whoopi Goldberg.
You weren't saying what I heard was not what you meant.
I think it's very different to live in the United States in 2025 than it is to live in Iran.
Not if you're black.
Not for everybody.
Not if you're black.
Not if you're black. Wait, hold on a second here. Whoopi Goldberg just said on national television, the ladies of The View, that being black in America in 2025 is the equivalent of being gay or a woman in Iran. In 2025. That's what she just said on national television. That's her words, not my words, right? I'm not saying this. Whoopi Goldberg just said, it's not different if you're black. That's the issue, again, that the Democrat Party is facing right now. When you've got your messengers like Whoopi Goldberg out in public, sitting on national television yesterday, making these ridiculous claims publicly. No wonder the Democrat Party is failing. No wonder the DNC is in chaos. This is the kind of public image that is being put forward by Democrats. And I'm obviously Ken Martin has no control over The View. I'm not saying that. But this is the perception of very far left progressives, of which Whoopi Goldberg is, and is what is being portrayed publicly. What a ridiculously stupid take and a completely inaccurate take. I will remind you, as one of the hosts of The View did, homosexuality is a crime in Iran. And if you are convicted of being a homosexual in Iran, one of the penalties, the maximum penalty, is being sentenced to death. That is the crime associated with being gay in Iran. Women have absolutely no rights. None. And Whoopi Goldberg is equating that to being black in America in 2025? What the hell is she talking about? Maybe she clarifies it. Let's keep listening.
Guys, don't go to Tehran. Do not anyone at this table should go to Tehran.
Let me tell you about being in this country. This is the greatest country in the world.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, I know that.
Oh, is it? I don't know that. I don't think you believe that. It's the greatest country in the world? Really? You sure as hell spend a lot of time talking about how terrible it is. You spend a sure as hell spend a lot of time talking about how awful America is, but it's the best country in the world. Interesting take from Whoopi Goldberg.
I know that, and we all know that.
Oh, do we?
But every day we are worried. Do we have to be worried about our kids? Are their kids going to get shot because they're running through somebody's neighborhood? They are not big deals, and I don't mean to say they're not big deals to you, because
no,
that's not
women,
what I meant.
And they are not doing well there either. They are not doing well in Iran. They are not educated. They cannot property.
About
they
the
cannot
United
leave
States. Them. I'm talking about here.
Nobody wants to diminish the very real problems we have in this country. That
well,
is
good.
No one's intent.
Good.
But I think it's important we remember there are places much darker than this country and people
not,
who deserve
listen,
rights.
Not
and
everybody
shouldn't.
Feels that way. Not everybody but, feels that way. Listen, I'm sorry. You know, when you think about the fact that we got the vote in 1965.
Okay, they don't have free and fair elections in Iran. It's not even the same universe.
They can't go out of their house. The women,
you know what? There's no way I can make you understand.
Whoopi Goldberg says, "I just can't make you understand." No, because the point you're making is absurd. The fact that you were trying to equate modern America, 2025 America, to 2025 Iran and the capital city of Tehran is insane. Verifiably crazy and insane. There is no parallels to be drawn whatsoever. None. And so Whoopi Goldberg is trying to pull this card that, you know, this weird race card that, you don't understand because you're not black in America in 2025. How's that anything equivalent to what's being discussed out of the Middle East this morning? It's not even, there's no comparison to even be drawn.
You
like,
try.
It's like, try to reverse roles with a black person in this country, let's say, because I think that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Just try to understand from their point of view. From that point of view, this country does not do them well, does not go for
them. I completely acknowledge that.
And we shouldn't compare atrocities.
If you're talking about Iran, of course, is doing worse things. But relatively speaking,
okay, well, you know
it feels
this.
Bad. On
okay,
this
but
side.
I think you know that Iran is significantly
worse. I guess we're
going
to come back and
listen,
talk
I was in
we're
going to
come back and talk more about this.
Well, alrighty then. That was an interesting 2.5 minutes. So why is it again that the Democrat Party is struggling to convince voters that their policies and their platforms and their ideas are the best? It doesn't have anything to do with that clip that you just listened to. This is the kind of nonsense that is being portrayed publicly that the Democrats absolutely have to answer for. Right? This is their media apparatus in full swing. This is the Democrats' public perception, right? Because they control so much of the media ecosystem and the media landscape. They've got their lackeys out on all of these networks and all of this coverage, all constantly promoting the Democrat message and the Democrat talking points and the Democrat this and the Democrat that. How do you deal with this? The argument that Whoopi Goldberg is trying to make, who, by the way, is an incredibly wealthy individual, an individual that is of the 1%, is paid very generously for her time in hosting The View. And she's going to try and equate her experience in America to that of gays and women in Iran. It's just completely nonsensical. There's absolutely no logic behind the discussion at all. And so you can imagine, and people watching this and seeing this on social media yesterday, probably scratching their head and wondering, Man, have these people lost their freaking minds? Have these hosts, have the individuals making these arguments, have they gone mad? Have they gone crazy? And to follow it up, here's a clip from just a couple of days ago on The View, once again, with the former governor of California, movie star, known legal immigrant, Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is what his back and forth exchange was with the ladies of The View. I think this was on Monday. Take a listen to this.
Self, you are an immigrant. You're an immigrant in this country.
Yeah.
Did you have a visceral reaction to what they're doing, what ICE is doing, when you see the videos of it?
Well, I tell you, you said that the immigrant, I'm so proud and happy that I was embraced by the American people like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine I came over here with the age of 21, with absolutely nothing. And then to create a career like that. I mean, in no other country in the world could you do that. Yeah. Every single thing, if it's my bodybuilding career, if it's my acting career, becoming governor, the beautiful family that I've created, all of this is because of America.
Uh-oh. Hold on. We got to shut this segment down. We've got Arnold Schwarzenegger saying that nothing of the likes that he has had success-wise are possible anywhere but America. That's not a good message for the Democrats, right? Because America's terrible. America's awful. Everything that we have in America sucks. Capitalism is bad. We need to become a socialist utopia. We need to have free medicine like Canada. We need to have free this and free that, this socialist utopia that they want to create. This is not a good narrative for the ladies of The View here.
That's true.
And so this is why I'm so happy to see firsthand that this is the greatest country in the world, and this is the land of opportunity. And I think because I'm such a proud American and a proud immigrant that came to America, I was asked to do on July 4th, a big speech, the keynote speech at Mount Vernon, that George Washington was made to rest, and where he lived and all that, to celebrate the 250th anniversary of America, the existence of America. And I will be doing the speech there. They asked me because I'm an immigrant, and there will be 7,000 some people there, and we will be there. There will be people that will be sworn in
naturalized.
And will become citizens.
Yeah, naturalized.
That day.
That's great.
By the way, if you've never been to a naturalized citizen ceremony, it is one of the most remarkable things you can ever attend. I've had the opportunity to go to a couple of them. They used to do them down in Southport every year during the 4th of July parade. They haven't done it the last couple of years. It is a remarkable ceremony to watch, to see the emotion on the individuals and their families' faces as they have gone through this very strenuous process of becoming a naturalized U.S. citizen. It is one of the, I mean, it is literally burned into my brain. It is one of the coolest, most emotional things I've ever attended. It is a very, very cool ceremony.
So it's really a great, great celebration. And this is what this is all about, is to celebrate people becoming Americans and coming to America and all that. And so I just think the world of the great kind of a history that we have with immigrants in America. But the key thing also is at the same time that we got to do things legal. That is the important thing, you know? So
you got to do what? Got to do things legal? Well, that's not the narrative of The View either. What is Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about here?
To do things legal, and those people that are doing illegal things in America and they're the foreigners, they are not smart, because when you come to America, you're a guest.
That's
and
true.
You have to behave like a guest. Like when I go to someone's house and I'm a guest, then I will do everything I can to keep things clean and to make my bed and to do everything that is the right thing to do, rather than committing a crime or being abusive or something like that. So that doesn't really work in this country. So I think the important thing is when you become an immigrant, to think about, okay, I go to America because I want to use America for the great opportunities that America has in education, in jobs, creating a family, all of those kind of things. Then you have to think about, okay, if I get all of those things from America, then I have to give something back. You have a responsibility as an immigrant to give back to America and to pay back to America and to go and do something for your community for no money whatsoever. Give something back to after-school programs, Special Olympics, or whatever it is. Make this country a better place.
Oh, man, that is not... When the question was asked directly to Arnold Schwarzenegger on The View earlier this week, explicitly about... obviously what they were setting him up for, and you heard the question there, I think it was Joy Behar that asked it, trying to set him up for, well, what do you think about the atrocities that are happening across the United States? Of course, Arnold, previously the governor of California, many of the federal discussion and the national discussion over the last couple of weeks have been taking place in the Los Angeles area, in the greater portions of California. And I assume what they wanted to do was to get him to condone the ICE raids, to condone the actions being taken by this president as it relates to immigration. Right? They wanted him to come out and say that, I think this is disgusting. This is vitriolic. This is a terrible thing that's happening. And he didn't do that at all. He talked about the opportunity that it was to legally migrate to the United States of America. Legally migrate to the U.S. right at the end there, talking about as an immigrant, you have the responsibility to give back to America and pay back America. Very interesting. And the analogy he uses of when you're a guest at somebody's house. Oh, yeah, of course. You're staying with somebody, whether it's a friend or a family member or relative. You make the bed. You make sure everything's nice and tidy. You don't leave your crap laying out all over the place. That's what Arnold Schwarzenegger's saying. Well, that's how it should be if you're an immigrant in America. You should take care of this place. You're a visitor. That's not the narrative that The View wanted to pull on this at all. At least I can't imagine that that's what they were trying to get to. And so as you watch all of this go on, as you see all of these discussions continue to take place, as the Democrat Party continues to struggle figuring out where their messaging is, where their narratives are, it is really hard. It's got to be really hard to combat all of this stuff publicly. I mean, you've got Whoopi Goldberg on one side of the coin saying that the situation in America is essentially just as bad as that situation over in Iran, regardless of the actual atrocities, regardless of the actual human impact, which is a very real thing that goes on in the country of Iran, just completely brushing it off. Like it's not happening. It's not a big deal. And so as we look forward, as we look towards, things are going to start happening very quickly. The summer, it's just about to begin, July 4th coming up in a couple of weeks. You're going to blink and we're going to be headed into the fall. March, there's going to be very interesting primaries taking place across the country for Senate races, for congressional races up in Washington, D.C. Those will all play out throughout the latter parts and early parts of next year. You'll have primaries in March and you'll blink once again and we'll be sitting and talking about the midterm elections. I mean, it will literally be here before you know it. And so for the Democrat Party, their big struggle right now is trying to convince the American people that their policies, their platforms, their ideas are the best. And or not even the best, but better than what the opposition is offering. And to this point, in the last 100 plus days since Donald Trump has been in the Oval Office, I have yet to see that play out. I have yet to see the Democrats put any of their big issues up on a pedestal and say, this is it. They're trying with the immigration stuff, but it's not working. I mean, we've looked at the polling. We've looked at the data. The evidence doesn't back it up. They want to make it seem, and they're continuing to try and set this narrative publicly that immigration and that these ICE raids and some of the things that you're watching go on are not popular with the American people, and it's just not true. I mean, I pulled up and we looked at that YouGov poll last week that talked about the protests in Los Angeles, talked about the ICE actions that are taking place. The Democrats are on the losing side of all of these issues. The Democrats are losing the narrative even on this. And so you are watching, going back to the New York Times article, The DNC is in chaos and desperate for cash. I don't think that's a salacious headline at all. I think that's a pretty accurate summation of where we stand right now. I think that's a pretty accurate summation of where this party is, where the Democrats are as we sit here almost through the month of June. A very interesting situation that we're watching unfold. We will keep an eye on those details, and we're going to continue to watch it as things continue to unfold, and we'll bring them to you right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, that's going to do it for a Thursday edition. Appreciate the Law Group for their continued support. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. If you have any thoughts on the Democrat Party, drop us a comment on YouTube, Rumble, or X. We'll get to those comments coming up tomorrow morning live, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, and X right here on The Nick Craig Show, or 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great Thursday.